Welcome to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, but now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you may be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
The topic that we're going to talk about today is alcohol abuse. That's what we're going to talk about today, alcohol abuse. Now, in saying that, just looking at, you know, some of the statistics, I mean, there's different numbers and stuff, but one of the latest ones that I read was there's over like 15 million Americans that, you know, have that problem with alcohol mm-hmm. abuse. Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to look at the statistics. I'm pretty sure everybody either knows somebody or they themselves are or were that has a problem with alcohol. And it causes so much, you know, problems in people's lives. Like it, in the case, in a lot of different cases, mm-hmm. It leads to domestic abuse in the house between a man and his, you know, his mm-hmm. his wife.
Angry drunks.
Yeah, exactly. It leads to children being raised in an environment where they shouldn't see or hear certain things because the man or the woman might be drinking away their problems, mm-hmm. or I think they're drinking away their problems, and because they're drunk, they're making all the right decisions, they're abusing their children, and they're just doing all kind of devious things, and then for a child to grow up in that environment, it really affects them for the rest of their lives. Like you look a lot of these children, mm-hmm. In later years when they've, you know, become criminals or whatever, mm-hmm. and you listen to them tell their story of when they were young, they'll say something like, you know, well, my dad was always drunk. He used to, him and his mom, you know, him and my mom used to always come in and they used to get mm-hmm. into arguments because mm-hmm. he was always drunk and this mm-hmm. leads to that, so on and so forth. And that's the environment that some people grow up around, which is not good. So that's what we're going to look at, alcohol abuse. So the first thing I want to do, because there's a big myth or a misconception mm-hmm. According to a lot of people that you can't drink alcohol according to the Bible. So that's the first question that we're going to look at. Can you drink according to the Bible?
We want people to make sure that they listen to the entire show.
Exactly.
Because when the Bible shows that you may drink, some people may just go out to a party and skip church tomorrow. It would be on the wrong day anyway. But you know, there's a responsibility
exactly.
in all of our actions, especially what we put in our mouths.
Exactly. Yep. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5.
Okay.
And read verse 23.
Okay.
Now, this was Paul the apostle mm-hmm. Giving instructions to Timothy. He was an up-and-coming leader of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, you know, obviously going through a lot of different things, a lot of different trials, temptations, so on and so mm-hmm. forth, a lot of issues they had to deal with. So mm-hmm. one of the instructions that was being given to Timothy was this. Read.
And Paul, remember, he was healing people too?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. 1 Timothy 5:23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities.
So it says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine,
mm-hmm.
not a lot, mm-hmm. just a little mm-hmm. wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? you had a long day or whatever, you're going through different trials, tribulations, whatever it might be, okay, there's nothing wrong with having a little wine. I do that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what, I had a long day today, let me just drink a little bit of wine, mm-hmm. and what, just relax me, you know, mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah. And you know what, bro, I know somebody that went on a diet, and this goes back into the class that we've been doing recently about using a doctor for what, right. you know, that you need them for and not for what you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the person went to the doctor for, like, some diet advice, like how to, you know, I'm exercising, I'm doing this, do you have any advice? It's like, yeah, you know, do this. You know, follow this plan or whatever, and also drink 4 ounces of wine a day.
Wow.
You know, four ounces, not
right.
the bottle, but,
exactly.
you know.
Exactly. That's a good point.
Uh-huh.
So this was instructions that was being given, a little wine. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to see in a moment, because when people, another doctrine that people have mm-hmm. Is, well, they'll say, well, that was grape juice. Mm-hmm. And it's not.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. not. So... That so we're still dealing with the question, can you drink according to the Bible? So let's mm-hmm. go from there to Deuteronomy chapter 14.
Okay.
We're going to read from 22 on down through 26.
Okay.
So we read about the wine, but that's wine. What about other liquors and drinks, beer, and all that other stuff?
Okay. Deuteronomy 14, starting at 22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy hands, and of thy flocks.
Excuse me, firstlings of thy herds.
Of herds, sorry. Okay. My glass. Oh, that was a dust spot on my glass. That thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose.
Stop. Mm-hmm. So this was, actually, you know, I'm sorry, read on. Read on.
Mm-hmm. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink,
mm-hmm.
or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household.
Okay, so this was talking about when the Israelites were in their land, and they were mm-hmm. doing the tithe, and so mm-hmm. on and so forth, and they mm-hmm. had to... go and take the stuff, the tithe of the wine, the mm-hmm. corn, and we went over a class recently about mm-hmm. tithing and what it is.
Mm-hmm. And what it is today, yeah.
Yeah, what it is mm-hmm. today. And it says, if the way be too long for thee, so when you were carrying these things, right,
mm-hmm.
if it was the way was too long for you, then what? Sell those things and turn it into money.
And then get it when you finish traveling. Get it
exactly,
back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then in 26 it says, and use that money to buy the food that you know, mm-hmm. life or lusteth after,
mm-hmm.
wine. Then it says, or strong drink. So it's the difference between wine and strong drink. So today, some people like drinking cognac, Hennessy, whatever. That would be considered what? Strong drink.
Yeah, because you don't need a glass.
Yeah, exactly.
You need a little teeny tiny bit.
Exactly. That's why that's a good point. That's when they pour it, what they do, like shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? Just a little bit, not a whole lot, because mm-hmm. it's strong.
Yep, and what do people, well, most people, you know, that people can play it off. But what do you do when you drink it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, whew, okay, yeah, that's strong.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, so we're seeing the difference, though, here, that mm-hmm. between wine and strong drink. So
yep.
it's not saying, okay, you can't drink at all, because we're reading it right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, let's see. Did you have something right now?
Oh, no. I was just looking up for something that if we have time, I can reference it, you know?
Okay, that's mm-hmm. fine.
Yep.
All right, now let's look at Christ. Did he drink? Let's go to Matthew chapter 11.
You can go to Genesis 49, too.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, there's so many scriptures that, you know,
about
this. Yeah, but I just picked these ones. But Matthew 11, read 18 and 19.
For John came neither eating nor drinking, meaning neither eating of common foods that were lawful, like he stuck to what, locusts and honey and stuff?
Yep.
Nor drinking. nor drinking any wine. He was only like drinking water or tea or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children.
So this it says the mm-hmm. Son of Man came eating and drinking. So Christ
mm-hmm.
was eating good.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking good, drinking
mm-hmm.
wine, and they say, so they were accusing him, behold,
mm-hmm.
a gluttonous man, it's just eat, 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 eat. A gluttonous man and a wine bibber. The word wine bibber means someone who loves to drink wine.
Mm-hmm.
So he was obviously, what, drinking wine, and they were
mm-hmm.
accusing him, though, of
mm-hmm.
the wrong thing.
Yeah, but you can look at his testimony and the record of his actions. It showed that even though he was drinking wine,
mm-hmm.
a lot, as a wine bibber defined, that you know says
yep.
that he was in control of his emotions,
exactly.
his anger, his
exactly.
You know, this, that, and the third, and he was able to live a righteous life.
Exactly. You don't see him drinking wine and then hitting on Mary Magdalene. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
see that. You don't see him drinking and the woman that used her hair to
yeah,
wash his feet or whatever.
Thinking about that.
You know what I'm saying? He's trying to hit on her. You don't see that happening. He had control of his emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like the scripture says, that first one, use a little wine
mm-hmm.
for thine often infirmity.
Mm-hmm.
So if Christ had more infirmities than we can ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
The man lived a very rough life and a hard life because
mm-hmm.
people were, just like here in this case, were always accusing him.
Mm-hmm.
People were trying to kill him at all times.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have
mm-hmm.
a place to rest. He went through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows how things are set up in this existence that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that relaxes you are what? Eating good and drinking a little bit of
mm-hmm.
wine.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
one thing.
Yep.
Remember in Mark 3, if you read from 1 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, Christ drunk a lot of wine. Wine bibber means wine, drink all wine all the time.
Yep, yep.
In Mark 3, 1 through 5, they accused him so much, and they waited for him to see if he was going to heal that man's hand on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
And he got hot
yep.
with anger.
Yep.
Did he go into some unknown Talon Claw style and just chop, chop, peep, poop, 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 and knock everybody out? Or did he call fire down on everybody?
No, he didn't.
Because he was mad?
No, he didn't.
Okay, he went to the next town.
Exactly.
He
yep.
just turned the other cheek and, listen, I'm done with y'all.
Exactly.
You know? So that shows how he had control over, in that example, his anger, even though he was a wine bibber.
And you know what? Another mm-hmm. point to that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did he leave from there and go to a tavern or whatever it is they had
and
back
then? And get mo drunk.
Yeah, and get
no.
drunk.
Man,
you, you know what I'm saying?
These cats, man, they just got me so mad and I had a rough day. Give me the bottle.
Exactly.
You know,
that's what people do.
You know,
they go to the bar, just
yeah.
drink their, trying to drink their problems away.
Yeah, I had a rough day. I got to go have a couple cocktails, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, but, you know, you ain't supposed to drink it for that. You're supposed to deal with your problems.
Exactly.
According to the word of the Lord, the wine comes as like enjoyment or a soother or a
yep.
medicine.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, good point.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go from there to Ephesians chapter 5 now.
Okay.
And 18. So we dealt with that question. We're
mm-hmm.
leaving off from that. So Ephesians 5,
mm-hmm.
verse 18. Let's see what this says.
Okay. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Okay, so a while ago what I had mentioned is that some people, they teach this doctrine that the wine
mm-hmm.
that the Bible talks about is grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get drunk off drinking a bottle of grape juice?
No, I think if you just drink like a gallon of it, you'll probably be, won't be too far from the bathroom for the next couple of days maybe. But calling off for work or whatever, you know,
exactly.
canceling appointments, but you won't get drunk.
Exactly. So when the Bible talks about wine, that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
So here it says, and be not drunk
mm-hmm.
with wine wherein is excess.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting into the heart of it. So don't drink to that point where you're drunk,
mm-hmm.
where you're trying to drink away your problems. Because like
mm-hmm.
I said, it leads to so many issues
mm-hmm.
in our society that people have.
Mm-hmm.
The domestic abuse, the children growing up in an environment seeing and hearing things that they should not see or hear as a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
It leads
mm-hmm.
to so many issues.
Mm-hmm. That and, everyday thing, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're in this month now, February, which people are celebrating Black History Month, but these are some of the things that should be being taught to our people, so-called
mm-hmm.
Black people,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
they shouldn't be doing these things because mm-hmm. in a lot of our houses, that's how it is. And like I said before at the beginning of the show, we really don't need a statistic to tell us how many people have
mm-hmm.
this problem because
mm-hmm.
we either know somebody, all of us,
mm-hmm.
or we ourselves are or were
mm-hmm.
or did have that problem.
Exactly. I had it, you know, and I had to come. I used to work third shift a long time ago, and me and a bunch of the guys used to leave work, be at the place at 10 to 8 waiting mm-hmm. for it to open because by law it couldn't open at 8
right.
o'clock. And then we'd be in there sometimes 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep.
Now, how I was getting home,
mm-hmm.
I, you know, that was the Most High,
yep.
you know, letting me do that without any damage. But, you know, that stuff is totally wrong, especially because we was doing it 3, 4, or 5 times a week sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Let's go, let's hang out. Yeah, yeah. Cancel my plans. Cancel my responsibilities.
Yeah.
I'll just go have a good time. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. That's abusing alcohol.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Because I was going to say, too, even myself,
mm-hmm.
I remember I had this job, and I mean, it was very stressful, man. It was
mm-hmm.
like every day I came home, I didn't look forward to going in the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And the alcohol is such a sneaky demon, if you know, to use
mm-hmm.
that word. Hopefully people understand
yeah.
what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
It sneaks upon you where you say, you know what, man, it's just it's real rough after a long day. I'm just going to have
mm-hmm.
a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, a drink leads to 2 drinks, 3 drinks a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you're
mm-hmm.
just drinking, thinking you're drinking your problems away. And
yeah.
it sneaks right upon you. Then I have to realize,
yeah, actually, you're adding to your problems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, liver damage and all that other stuff
mm-hmm.
that can come, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then destruction in the end, too, that we're going to read about. Because
mm-hmm.
a drunkard is not going to get into the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to watch that. Cause, and not to isolate ourselves, because I know even like in our church, I know one of the things that, you know, sometimes I tell people that are going through
mm-hmm.
a lot of different trials and temptations,
mm-hmm.
I always tell them, I was like, listen, watch that alcohol consumption,
because
mm-hmm. that's a sneaky
mm-hmm.
one. You know what I'm saying? Because you'd be going through a whole bunch of stuff, man, and the only say, you know what, the only way out, I just need a little drink. But then, like I said,
yeah.
it just leads to more and more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not, you know, we're not isolating ourselves from it.
Yeah, exactly. But that's why the scriptures say strong drink and wine and strong drink are a mocker, and they'll make
exactly.
a fool of you
exactly.
if you let them.
Yeah.
See, what Christ was doing was he would drink, but he wouldn't let it go, because that's a strong, that drink and that drunk feeling is a strong enticement
mm-hmm.
or wicked spirit enticing you. That's why they call it wine and spirits.
Yep, exactly.
And it entices you to go into your emotions, anger, and stuff like that. So what he was doing was he was able to resist that even though he was, you know, consuming wine. Most
okay.
people can't do that.
Exactly. Yep.
You know,
that's
and
true.
That's why we you know, like for people that we know, sometimes us ourselves, when we feel that, we just not going to go into it.
Exactly.
Just rather avoid it because we know of the consequences.
Exactly. Yep, that's true. So read that again, Ephesians
mm-hmm.
5 and 18.
And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
So again, be not
mm-hmm.
drunk with wine, and we explained that, wherein is excess,
mm-hmm.
but be filled with the Spirit. Be sober-minded, man.
Mm-hmm.
Have the Spirit of Jesus Christ on you. Repent.
Mm-hmm.
And think godly and live godly. That's that spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Not be filled with a spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But with the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know?
You know?
So let's go from there to Proverbs 23.
Okay.
And we're going to continue on the same
mm-hmm.
path here. 23, read 29 through 35. We're going to read all the way down.
Okay. Proverbs 23, starting at 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes?
Stop. Wow. There's a bunch of stuff going on.
That's
what I'm saying. There's a bunch of stuff going on here, man.
You know, a bunch of questions.
Who hath woe? Woe, old English word, destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Who hath sorrow? Who has all these different issues, just sorrowful, all kind of things happen in their
mm-hmm.
lives? Who has contentions, always getting into arguments and strifes?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who has babbling, always running off at the mouth?
The diarrhea of the mouth, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Who has wounds without cause?
Man, where I get this bruise or these scratches from? Man, what happened?
Exactly. Or even that, too, going into that offending with the mouth, because that's what happens, too, when you know, when you're drunk.
Yeah.
Who has redness of eyes that you consume it so much, your eyes turn bloodshot red?
Mm-hmm. You could insert me back in the day when I used to drink, because I know.
Yeah.
Right here. Thank God through Christ I repented from that.
Yep, exactly. So read 30. Who has these things?
They that tarry long at the wine.
Mm.
They that go to seek mixed wine.
Wow, okay. So they that
mm-hmm.
tarry long,
mm-hmm.
drinking in excess.
Mm-hmm.
They have these problems, the contentions,
mm-hmm.
the babbling, the wounds without cause, the woe, the sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They have these problems, the people that drink with that excess. So it's showing you it's no good for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's only making you worse and destroying you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so read 31.
Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup. When it moveth itself aright, like so, oh, man, it looks so, it's not harmful. Tastes so good. And look at
oh, my God.
The bouquet, it's beautiful.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man, you know?
I know, and a lot of people do that. They have the liquor in the glass. And, look at that bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that right there. Yeah.
Man, you know what? I think I might have another shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Or another glass, or another, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Read 32.
At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder.
There you go. So it bites like a serpent. When a serpent bites you, is it a pleasant thing?
It's poisonous.
Exactly. It can destroy you.
Mm-hmm. Because an adder is an asp, which is a poisonous snake from the Mediterranean area.
Yep. Read 33.
Thine eyes shall behold strange woman. Yo, what's that saying? The drunker I get, the better you look.
Oh, yeah.
And thine heart shall utter perverse things. Hey, baby, come here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you wouldn't even approach that woman with that mindset if you wasn't lit.
Exactly. And it leads to a lot of issues, too, because you sleep with the woman, you might get her pregnant. When you're sober up, he's like, damn, I can't believe
wake
it.
Wake up.
Yeah, exactly.
See funny wallpaper.
Yeah.
Like, where am I?
Exactly.
Then you're trying to slow motion peek over your shoulder like, who's, is this somebody in the business? Uh-oh.
Exactly.
That's wicked.
And exactly. And now because you didn't want to deal with her, you know, she might get pregnant, have a child, and then she's dragging you for child support, support for child support.
Now that's the contentions, you know, and
that's
for the consequences of abusing alcohol.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So read 34 through 35.
Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth on the top of the mast.
I'm sorry, stop. So if you lie down in the midst of the sea, you're thinking
back and forth.
Exactly, or you're thinking everything is okay. You're not even seeing the danger that's there.
Mm-hmm.
The mast that it's talking about, I looked it up, it's basically like leaves and dirt and all that stuff in the forest.
Yeah.
That the animals eat, wild hogs and all that other stuff. So you lying on something like that.
Yeah. And you just like, how did I get here? Wait a minute. This is unfamiliar territory. What happened?
Exactly. 35 brings that out. Read 35.
They have stricken me, and thou shalt say, I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Yeah! Because I'm abusing alcohol. That's what happens when you let that stuff get a hold to you.
Exactly.
And you let your, like Christ said, When you go in him, you'll have peace. But if you're in the world, you'll have tribulation. But
yeah.
follow after him, because he overcame the world. He overcame,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he could deal with drinking and not going into all these lusts and stuff that it entails.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep, so it says, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, I was not sick.
Mm-hmm.
And they have beaten me, and I felt it not.
Where did these bruises come from?
Exactly, yeah. What happened last night?
Yeah.
You know, what happened? I said, oh, yeah, you got into a fight. Oh, man, really? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, hey, I remember this dude. He was at my job. He came to work one day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was off like 2 days. He came to work. He was limping. He had his arm. It wasn't in a sling, but he had his arm like across his body.
Mm-hmm.
His face bruised up and everything. I was like, yo, man, what happened to you? You got hit by a car?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, nah, a couple of days ago I went out. I got in a fight at a bar, you know. It's like, wow, man, I hate to see the other guy. You know, I was about six of them, you know. Well, that's what they told me because I didn't remember. You know, I just woke up. I was in the hospital.
Right.
Like, huh?
Yeah.
So that alcohol will have you feeling so good and not letting you understand that you heading into trouble.
Exactly. Yep, and that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
How much time do we have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool.
All right.
A minute and a half.
All right,
So let's go from there to 1 Corinthians 6, 3, 9 through 11. What happens to people that are drunkards? Are they going to get into the kingdom of heaven? Let's see.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
So it says a drunkard will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Paul went on to say, such were some of you in this congregation, but you repented because you're washed and sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's what it is. This show, as all our other shows, is a call to repentance, meaning stop, in this case, from drinking in excess and being drunk, abusing alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
The topic that we're going to talk about today is alcohol abuse and part two. That's what we're going to do. A few weeks back, we did a part one to this class, so now we're going to do part two to alcohol abuse.
Mm-hmm.
In the last class that we did, we spoke about how, you know, that's a very common problem for a lot of people is just over drinking and getting drunk and being drunkards and stuff like that. So we're going to deal with that part two to that. The thing that we're going to do, though, in this particular topic is usually when we do classes like this, people always say, you know what, yeah, you're talking about, like, alcohol is bad for you and it's good. Yeah, I know that. Overdoing prescription drugs and all that. Yeah, I know it's not bad. You said it's bad for you. I know that. Doing drugs, you said it's not good for you. Yeah, I know that. They always say that, and then they say, but how do you stop?
And that is the point.
Exactly.
How do you stop doing anything?
Exactly.
That you're not supposed to do.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to concentrate on in this class. So the first scripture, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6.
Okay.
We had left off this scripture the last time. So 1 Corinthians 6, read 9 through 11.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
Stop. So it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So anyone that's God-fearing or wants to inherit eternal life, the scriptures are saying that the unrighteous is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Don't you know? It's a question. Then he goes into some examples of what makes a person unrighteous and not worthy to receive the kingdom of heaven when it is set up. So he's going to go into some more characteristics, and pay attention when we read verse 10. Read verse 10.
Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
So it says, nor thieves or covetous, nor drunkards. We want to focus in on that. Mm-hmm. Nor drunkards is going to inherit the kingdom of God. So mm-hmm. some people might think that it's a light thing, or it's nothing. You know, well, yeah, I just mm-hmm. I get drunk every now and then. I get drunk every weekend or every other day or whatever. Mm-hmm. It ain't a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the scriptures here is telling us that a drunkard is not going to inherit the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have to realize. Now, here's the point, and this is what, like I said, what we're going to focus on in the class. Here's the point. Read verse 11.
And such were some of you.
So, this was a letter that Paul the apostle was writing to the church that was set up in Corinth at that time, and they had a congregation.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, such were some of you. So some of the people in that church at that time were drunkards, they were thieves, they were covetous, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But what did they do? What made them stop doing those things? What caused that? Read on.
And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
So it says, but ye are washed,
mm-hmm.
cleansed. And we're going to go in a minute mm-hmm. explaining what these things mean mm-hmm. in more detail. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So now these people here, they were cleansed from all these things basically through Jesus Christ, through the understanding of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we mentioned before, how do you stop from abusing alcohol? Let's look at the first step. Go to Proverbs 28.
Okay.
The first step is you have to what? Admit that you have that problem, because
yep.
it's one of those things that people, you know, will say, nah, I don't have that problem. I'm not like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even like when you look at these organizations and stuff, I think it's AAA, Alcoholics mm-hmm. Anonymous.
Yeah.
What's one of the first? I know they make
a joke. I am an addict.
Yeah, exactly.
You always got to remember that's what you are and that's what you have to fight.
Exactly.
You have to admit it.
Exactly. Have to admit it. But, and it's mm-hmm. no different from what the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's read Proverbs 28, verse 13.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
So it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. So if you're there making excuses, mm-hmm. oh, I don't have that problem. Oh, that's not me. Oh, you know, I drink mm-hmm. every now and then. Oh, it's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't remember all the bad things you're saying that I did when I was drunk, so I don't have that problem.
Yeah, it's not me, it's the bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Exactly. You know, so it says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. So as long as you're doing that, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to still continue to have that problem because
exactly.
you're not confessing that you have that problem.
Exactly, yep.
And we mentioned before, we're not isolating ourselves from this.
Mm-hmm.
Before we came to the doctrine, even when some of us was in the doctrine and had a problem with this,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the first things that we had to do when it was pointed mm-hmm. out to us, saying, okay, you know what? Yeah, I do have a problem. I drink too much.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, you will begin to realize and say, okay, you know what? I do drink too much. How? Let me move forward now as far as stopping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It says, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So
mm-hmm.
the people in Corinth at that time, they what confessed, meaning they acknowledged that they had that problem,
mm-hmm.
and they forsaketh, meaning they stopped doing it, they stopped being drunkards,
mm-hmm.
and then the Lord had mercy on them. The Lord put away that sin that they did, and that's
mm-hmm.
when the Lord had mercy on them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no different for us today. So that's the first step that people have to take if they have a problem with alcoholism.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, let's go from there to 1 Peter chapter 3.
Okay.
We're going to read verse 21. So back in 1 Corinthians 6 and 11, it says, "But ye are washed." So let's see. Is
mm-hmm.
this a literal washing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How? Because, for example, if you say, okay, you know what? I have a problem with alcohol and you know what, I want to turn my life around, man. I just want to get right. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to be baptized. Or I'm going to go down to this river here and I'm going to
dunked in this water, and that will clean me up. That will clean my act up. Will that clean you up? Is that the washing that the scriptures is talking about? Let's read 1 Peter 3:21.
Sounds like magic water, bro.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Okay, 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
So it says the like figure.
Mm-hmm.
When you read up, it's talking about like how Noah was saved, right,
mm-hmm.
from that flood. So that's why it says the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. So
mm-hmm.
Noah himself was baptized, but you see he didn't get wet because he wasn't in the flood.
Nope.
So it says, doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Because if you get dunked in a pool or in a
mm-hmm.
river or whatever, all you're doing is just you're washing off the dirt or whatever filth you got
mm-hmm.
in your body.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not cleansing your
mm-hmm.
mind.
Yep.
So it says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience, a good mindset toward God
mm-hmm.
by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So
mm-hmm.
we have to have that right mind
mm-hmm.
towards God, saying, you know what, man, when God made man on the earth, he made us upright, he made us to be in his image,
mm-hmm.
he made us to be holy and righteous.
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing by being a drunkard? I'm being nothing but defiling myself and then going out committing all these horrific acts,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be adultery, whether it be domestic abuse, whether it be abusing your children. That's not right. I'm going to change my mind and have that right mind towards God. That's that right conscience. That's how you wash yourself
mm-hmm.
and not being literally washed in a pool of water.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So when it says wash, that's the washing that it's talking about. It's having that
mm-hmm.
good conscience, that good mind,
mm-hmm.
knowing that Jesus Christ came and died for us, took nails in his hands, went through all the shame,
mm-hmm.
People mocking him, all that stuff just
yep.
for our sins.
Yep.
So you having that right mindset saying, you know what, Christ did all that for me, and all he's requiring us to do is to live holy and righteous in his sight, then you know what, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to stop from abusing alcohol.
Yep.
That's how you stop. That's that right mindset. That's that washing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go to the next scripture.
Let's go to John chapter 15 and 3.
Okay. Because all I was going to say is, you know, that's that mind controlling and having authority over that desire to drink or abuse yourself.
Yep.
And, you know, the baptism, just look at it this way. You get a notorious pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because right now that's about the only thing that's universally hated by everybody.
Yeah.
The only thing that's left is about a child abuser, you know, sexual predator type of guy. They go to jail for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
right? They do a lot of washing in jail probably every day because
yep.
they are on discipline. They have to be in that shower, right? A lot of washing
yep. Yep.
over that 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they get out, they have to register as a sexual predator.
Right.
For 10 more years or whatever,
mm-hmm.
because it's known that they often and most likely go back to what they were doing before they went to jail.
Yep.
That's why you have people getting arrested. It's in the news. Well, he moved here and it's too close to a school.
Mm-hmm.
Or he moved here and he didn't register with the state.
Mm-hmm.
as to what his new address was. So they send him back to jail.
Right.
Because they know that they are the most likely type of abuser to recommit the same crimes.
Right. Because,
but all that washing they did in jail,
it didn't help them.
Okay. All right.
Yep, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good segue into the
mm-hmm.
scripture. So let's read John 15, verse 3. Christ is saying this. Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Read this.
Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
So it goes into the point of what you said,
mm-hmm.
being washed literally does
mm-hmm.
not make you clean, make your mind cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
But we're cleansed now through the words that Christ speak unto us. So when we're reading like a letter to the Corinthians, that wasn't Paul's wisdom. Those were the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ put the Spirit on Paul to answer whatever questions that the church had at the time and to deal with their issues.
Exactly.
So those are still Christ's words, even though they aren't written in red. It's still his words.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So that's how we clean up our acts. So in the case of alcohol abuse, you read the scripture where it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. So that means that you don't do it. And if you stop doing it, that's how you clean up your act. That's how you become clean and not literally going being dunked in a pool. But that's how we stop from committing these things.
Exactly.
Right? Let's go from there to Isaiah chapter 8.
Okay.
And we're going to read verse 13. And let's see. This is still talking about Christ, that Lord of hosts, because the Lord, that Lord, ruler over hosts, meaning ruler over everything that God created. That's what that means. That's
exactly.
Christ.
Yep.
So let's see what this says.
Isaiah 8, verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread.
That's a part of it also. Sanctify, make the Lord holy, separate from sin, be free from sin. That's what that word sanctify is going into. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let have that reverence for him, what he says to do, how we're not supposed to be abusing our bodies like that, how we're not supposed, how we're supposed to be sober-minded and not being drunk where it leads to other things. Like the domestic abuse like we mentioned before. You know, the abusing your children, the going out, whoremongering, whatever sins that people get into when they do that. It says, let him be your fear. Have that respect. You know what God says we're not supposed to do it? Christ came and said the same thing, showed us the example. That's what I'm going to do. That's that fear. And let him be your dread. Knowing that, okay, if you continue to do those things and you don't repent, that dread, that fear is going to come on you at the end, because it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, what are you going to inherit? Destruction. So let him be your fear and dread. If you keep these things in mind, this is how you will be able to stop from doing that alcohol abuse. This is how you're able to stop. Because like I said before, that's the one thing people always say. Yeah, I know. I'm reading that stuff, man, about how it's not bad. And so, yeah, I know that. But how do you stop? We're going over it right now. This is how you stop. Let's go from there into the Apocrypha, Ecclesiasticus chapter 31. And again, we're going to give... just give a little introduction of this book, because, you know, we
people hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like they do the rest of the Bible, but there's another excuse for this.
Exactly. The Apocrypha, so-called Apocrypha, is a part of the Bible. It was in the original 1611 version. In later years, they took it out for whatever motives or reasons that they had. However, when you read these books in the Apocrypha, it lines up with all the other books in the Bible. It lines up with the whole theme of repentance. The one example that I always bring out is when you see Christ celebrating the feast of the dedication to the altar. Today, people commonly refer to it as Hanukkah. Where does that come from? That's not in the regular Bible that people have.
Or in the Old Testament, so-called commandments for holidays.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's in the apocryphal books.
Yep.
So, all right, so let's read Ecclesiasticus chapter 31. We're going to read 27 down through 31.
Okay. Wine is as good as life to a man if it be drunk moderately.
That's the key word. Wine is good to a man if it be drunk moderately. Not getting drunk with it, not abusing it, moderately.
Yep.
That's the key. Read on.
Yep. Like we mentioned the last time, the thing about the diet. Some diets say, you know, consume 2 to 4 ounces of wine a day.
Yep.
That's not enough to get, I mean, if you weigh 35 pounds, yeah, to do something to you, but a grown person, you know, with the right food and everything, you know, it's okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Wine is good as wine is as good as life to a man if it be drunk moderately. What life is then to a man that is without wine? For it was made to make men glad.
So it says, what life is then to a man that is without wine?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I know, I'm laughing because I know at the last feast, I don't know if you remember, we were sitting around talking about wine and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now, one of the things I said was, like, man, the only thing with my work schedule now, when I be coming in and stuff,
yeah,
I can't really drink, you know, a glass of wine.
Yeah.
It'd be too late and stuff. It would jack my stomach up. But,
yeah.
And it's like, me going without it is like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you need it to, like, prep you up, put you in that good mood and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what the scriptures are saying. It was made to make men glad.
Yeah,
that's
but,
one of the things. I'm sorry.
Right. But when you get to a point like you need it because you want that chill, that relaxation out of it.
Right.
You know, and with a hectic schedule, it's hard to get.
Right.
So you feel a need for it. But if you go into having a need for it all the time,
yep.
a strong drink all the time, it's going to take the problems away temporarily, and you just
exactly.
That's where you're going off.
Exactly. Yep. So read on. Read 28.
Wine measurably drunk, and in season, let me read that again. And in season bringeth gladness of the heart and cheerfulness of the mind.
That's what you just mentioned. That's
mm-hmm.
the example you just gave. Wine measurably mm-hmm. drunk,
yep.
And in season bringeth gladness. So
mm-hmm.
you explain that not having the need to having a strong drink, whatever, all
yep.
the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So read on. Read 20.
Like, if you got to drive somewhere, are you supposed to drink?
Nope.
Okay, but a lot of people do it. That's why the Most High ordained the powers that be to come up with DUI laws.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Ecclesiastes 31 and 29. But wine drunken with excess maketh bitterness of the mind with brawling and quarreling. Don't we know about that?
Exactly. We see this all the time. People get drunk, and what they do, get into fights and start arguing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
Read 30.
Drunkenness increaseth the rage of a fool till he offend. It diminisheth strength and maketh wounds.
So drunkenness increaseth the rage of a fool till he offend. So when you get drunk, when people get drunk, that's what they do. What? They offend. It rages you.
Mm-hmm.
Till you start saying stuff that what? That's very offensive.
Yeah.
And it diminisheth strength and maketh wounds.
Yeah.
You're susceptible to anything that could happen. Like, even, like, I know on college campuses and stuff, even a lot of women, when they drink a lot, what ends up happening? They end up getting raped and all that
mm-hmm.
other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Or
yeah.
getting in fights.
Yeah,
stuff,
getting in
know?
Fights. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that too. But both of them happen, getting
mm-hmm.
raped and getting in fights.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But that's what being in a drunken state of mind does.
Mm-hmm.
It diminisheth strength and maketh wounds. So whether it be fights or literally offending somebody with your mouth or whatever, because that could
yeah.
cause a wound too.
Yeah.
That's what that drunkenness does. So it's not
mm-hmm.
good when we abuse that alcohol.
Yeah. And, you know, if you've ever known anybody that's, like, over 6'2", 250, you know, big, burly type of person, and they've ever been in a bar, and you've talked with them at length about their experiences, they will probably mention something to you called beer muscles. Because some little guy
yeah.
or girl comes up, they get drunk, and they start pushing the guy. Like, listen, leave me alone.
Yeah.
But I'm just drinking, you know. Get over here, you baby. You ain't nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Until they so drunk, they offend.
Exactly.
And because you drunk too much, you ain't got no strength, but you got a lot of mouth.
Exactly.
Then you wonder why you got wounds, because you
exactly.
had beer muscles and you messed with this dude that wasn't even messing with you.
Exactly. Yep, that's a great point to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Read 31.
Rebuke not thy neighbor at the wine, and despise him not in his mirth. Give him no despiteful words, and press not upon him with urging him to drink.
Okay, so I want to focus mainly on the last part of the sentence, but I'm
yeah.
going to explain the first part. When it talks
mm-hmm.
about rebuking not thy neighbor at the wine and despising not in his mirth,
mm-hmm.
all that's saying is don't go try to correct the person while they are drunk.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it's saying. So, because
mm-hmm.
are they going to remember that? What
no.
you said to them?
No.
No. So that's what it's talking about.
Yeah, don't hate on him either because he's happy.
Yeah, exactly.
This is talking about someone that's drinking responsibly, though.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. And then it says, and press not upon him with urging him to drink. So,
oh, man, I got to throw out my funnel.
Because we've been in that situation at college parties or seen videos of it or whatever, but we've been around drinking. Drink, 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 drink. That's urging him to drink.
Yeah.
And that's what the scriptures is telling us not to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to keep these things in mind. It's funny how the Bible addresses everything, right?
Yeah, everything in life. You know?
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
And it goes right to the core of the matter.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like games of quarters and stuff where you got to bounce the quarter into the thing. If you miss, you got to drink stuff. That's a drunk game. We ain't supposed to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's a good point, too.
Mm-hmm.
Read Acts 3:19. This will be the last scripture.
All right. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Here it is. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Like for this example, be converted from a drunkard to a wise man.
Exactly.
That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
Repent now. Stop from being a drunkard while you have a chance before Jesus Christ comes back.
Mm.
Now, the topic that we're going to talk about today is prescription drugs, overdose and unprescription drugs. We are living in these last days and times where things are just going to get more and more crazier, like we've been seeing. Almost all the events recently, like for the past 2 years, probably more, that's been coming up in the news, the mass shootings, the people eating people's face and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at almost all the people that did those things, they were all either they got off their meds, as they say, or they overdose on some kind of prescription drugs, and it's just a growing problem. And you have a lot of people that become dependent on these things, thinking that it's going to help them with their problems. But we're going to go through the scriptures, and we're going to see who is the help coming from, and what are we doing when we rely on those prescription drugs and overdose on them. We're going to see that. So.
Mm-hmm.
The first scripture that I want to go to is Proverbs chapter 3.
Okay.
And read verse 5 and 6.
Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
So it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, right, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So you got problems, whether it be medical problems, mental problems, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is saying trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Well, you know what? You know, I went to the doctor and they prescribed this for me and that, this pill for me and that pill for me. So you know what? I'm going to do more than the required dosage of what they're telling me to do because, you know, I want to feel better or whatever the case
mm-hmm.
might be.
Yep. Yep.
The scripture is saying, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The problem comes in where people, they don't rely on the Lord. They rely on their own minds, their own feelings, their own thoughts,
mm-hmm.
right? And the Lord is not directing their ways. So it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. So in everything that we do, so whatever we put in our bodies, we're going to read it in a moment, but the scriptures tell us that we shouldn't defile our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're putting those things in us, it's basically poison, really. And it's damaging our body when you do more than what the required amount is that these doctors are telling you to take.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the ways you acknowledge him. And we're going to see another way also in a moment. But it mm-hmm. says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So in whatever it is that you do, because you have a lot of people today, even like young children,
5, 6 years old. They have like 20 different medications that's prescribed to them, right? Mm-hmm. And they're just overdoing it, overdoing it, overdoing it. And the parents are just giving it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know, you know, the damage that's being done to that child.
Mm-hmm.
And in nowhere in that are they acknowledging the Lord, saying, Lord, help me out with this situation. Nowhere they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They're just relying and going by their own thoughts, feelings, opinions, what they think.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go from there. Let's go to Psalms 103.
Okay.
Who ultimately heals us of whatever ailments that we have? Is it the physician, the doctor? Is it a man? Psalms 103, read verse 1 through verse 3.
Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases.
Read that last part again. Who what?
Who healeth all thy diseases.
One more time, please.
Who healeth all thy diseases.
It says, bless the Lord God and his Son, Christ. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It's
mm-hmm.
the Lord God through his Son that allows us to wake up every single day and to see another day. That brings us through the day. All his benefits, the food that we eat, the job that we have, it's the Lord that gives us those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
It says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, not the doctor, not these prescription drugs that you're being given. The Lord is the one that heal your diseases. Whether or not people want to admit that or not, because you have a lot of people that are very ungrateful. They've developed cancer or some other, you know, disease, and they get healed of it, and
mm-hmm.
nowhere in their mind or in their speech or whatever, they said anything about God and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But the scriptures tell us, Christ says that what? His Father is what? Kind to the unthankful and unto the unholy. I'm paraphrasing that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
that's just how the Most High is. He heals people whether or not sometimes if they want to acknowledge it or if they want to thank him or not.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to recognize that it's the Lord that healeth all thy diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever disease that we have, it's the Lord that's going to help us out, whether or not if he wants to help us to get rid of that disease or not. And that's what we have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are we doing when we overdose on these prescription drugs?
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned it before. Go to 1 Corinthians 6.
Okay.
And we're going to read verse 19, because this is an ongoing problem, and it's only going to get worse and worse, because people nowadays are just looking for, like, instant gratification, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
So 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, what are we doing when we overdose on those prescription drugs? Read that.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
Says, know ye not that your body, our bodies, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you,
mm-hmm.
which we have of God. God gave us these bodies to live in the time that he prescribed,
mm-hmm.
and ye are not your own. So our bodies don't belong to us.
Mm-hmm.
It was given to us for a time being. And these bodies that were given to us, we have to treat it a certain way. We have to take care of our bodies a certain way. So when we're pumping all those drugs in us, overdosing on it, what are we doing? We're defiling our bodies. Go
mm-hmm.
from there to 1 Corinthians 3. Read 17.
1 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Our bodies
mm-hmm.
are the temple of God, which temple mm-hmm. ye are. So when we're overdosing on those things, that's what we're doing. We're defiling our bodies, because in a lot
mm-hmm.
of cases, the way how they make these medicines, and we're going to read something in a moment, is it originally derives from a plant or whatever that the Most High created, but then they come and they add all these chemicals and all these other things in it.
To make it synthetic.
Exactly, to make it synthetic. And that's where the problem comes in. So if you do more than that, then that's where, like I said, those problems comes in. And almost all these cases that we've seen recently in the news, the mass shootings, you know what I'm saying, the people just acting buck wild, you know what I'm saying, it all, they don't tell you that in most of the cases, but it's people that was doing those drugs, that was on those drugs.
Exactly.
They don't say that on the news, but that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's people that's like that. And those are the extreme examples, but we don't need to go that far. When you look at, just go where, if you work, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, whatever the case might be, you notice these people be having all these mood swings. One day, they, you know, everything is all good, hunky-dory with them. The next 5 minutes, you know what I'm saying? They're all in a bad mood.
Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I know.
World full of confusion. You
know? Exactly. And I know at like my two of my, you know, well, my current job, my other job, it used to be a joke. It was about one of the managers, like, okay, man, they must be off their meds today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's why they're acting like that.
Yeah.
But that's all over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's starting to become a problem.
Mm-hmm. Can I give an example right quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, too. When we have to trust the Lord and lean into His understanding, not ours, the Bible mentions specific scriptures and examples on how to mourn for a loved one's death.
Yep.
Okay. Now, we know a friend of ours is a teacher. They work with somebody, and he found out that they were on meds, mental meds. They said, well, I didn't know you took meds. What are you taking medication for? Well, you know, my father died. And I was so sad, and I went to my doctor, and he said, take these pills. You know, so, but wait a minute, don't the scriptures say?
Right.
How we should mourn, and watch out when we're mourning, because that heaviness and sadness can destroy us.
Exactly.
So don't go too far into it.
Exactly.
Give him his fit, you know, mourning, and then shake it off yourself and continue.
Exactly.
When you don't lean on that understanding, and you lean on that other understanding, you are basically going against the word of the Lord and defiling yourself with something that's not necessary.
Exactly.
Another example is young children, or, you know, children, period. They're supposed to be disciplined, trained, and guided.
Yep.
When they are left to themselves, they become uncontrollable.
Exactly.
So what the industry or necessity has brought upon us is synthetic discipline. Here, Johnny, take this pill.
Yep.
And 5 minutes later, he's going to sit there and be quiet. He may be looking at his hand like he sees 15 different colors.
Exactly.
Ooh, he's like, look at my hand. Ooh. And he ain't going to disrupt the class no more as long as he's on that med.
Yep.
But he wouldn't disrupt that class at all if he was trained.
Exactly.
Disciplined and guided according to the word of the Lord.
Exactly.
So that's what, you know, that's what we're talking about, is you go according to the scriptures.
Exactly.
You know, and when you need medication, you take it.
Right.
And you ask advice of the doctor, because he got his intelligence and experience and everything from the Most High too.
Exactly.
You know, but you don't go against the word of the Lord and then go to the doctor instead.
Exactly.
There's another scripture I want to come up with later. It's the king that
didn't obey
the Lord.
Yeah, we're going to read that.
Okay, all right, yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to mention, but that's it.
No, bro, those are very two good examples, and I'm glad you brought those examples out to bring the other side, because that's what we're saying. Going back to the first example about the mourning and stuff, like, okay, I'll give an example of myself. You know, like, a lot of our parents are, like, old school parents that don't believe in the meds and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I was younger, when I was a teenager, I had acne, like, really, really bad. So I went to the doctor and stuff, and, you know, they gave me, like, prescription drugs and all that other stuff. And, bro, I mean, I was on it, I think, for, like, a year, year and a half. After a while, my mother was like, listen, stop taking all those drugs like that. It's got to be something.
Something else.
Yeah, that's causing it. Because you're just taking off, pushing all these drugs in your body, And it's, what is it doing? I mean, there's got to be something to it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is something to it. I mean, for some people it's different, but in a lot of cases it's the stuff that we eat mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? That prevent that particular type of
exactly.
Disease or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example of it. And I was talking to, I was talking to someone the other day, and they were telling me that, you know, somebody they know or whatever, got cancer. And I forgot what, I think it was prostate cancer. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I was asking them, because they're in the medical field, so I was asking them, I was like, okay, what causes that? What causes that particular type of cancer?
Yeah.
And they gave me some convoluted answer that they basically learned from med school. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They don't learn the cause, real cause and the mm-hmm. cure. They just mm-hmm. learn about the medicines and stuff. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, you know, I was like, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure it's something, if it depends on how far it is, that they can do to stop, to prevent that
mm-hmm.
from developing more. Because I was like, think about it. When God created man on the earth, when he says he created man in his own image and saw that everything was good,
mm-hmm.
do you think he meant for us to get cancer? Do you think he meant for us to get any of these other diseases?
No.
So it's something in the world that's corrupted that, you know, we're doing or that we're exposed to.
Exactly.
That causes those things. So what is it that you can avoid or whatever to help out that situation?
You know what? I don't think we could go any farther because we're about to get sued by the American Medical Bureau, whatever they are. Because, you know, but that's the thing. Just like, you know what? If I'm always, chasing after women, then I'm corrupt because of that, then guess what? If I remove that corruption, then I won't be chasing after women.
Exactly.
You know, and I won't be an adulterer. And you know what? The scriptures tell me how to do that. So the scriptures, they help you with everything.
Exactly.
A lot of the diseases we have are caused by, believe it or not, the foods we eat, but the Lord gave us not only the foods that we should eat and shouldn't eat, but also how to eat them.
Right.
Don't go into dainty foods because they will destroy you.
Yep.
You know, the scriptures say, listen, figure out what is good for your body and what is bad for your body, and whatever is bad for your body, mm-hmm. don't go into it.
Yep, exactly.
So that's the answer right there.
Yep, exactly. So I want to read this real quick because we're talking about the drugs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, all these drugs that we're looking at, it comes from chemistry. It's an old term called alchemy, A-L-C-H-E-M-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing some research on it, this thing, I thought originally that it started like during Europe or whatever, the Renaissance period. I didn't know that. But they went all the way back, bro, to like Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it went beyond that too. Before
Babylon.
That. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to read this here because this is the like modern medicine or whatever. There's just a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it says alchemy. Alchemy is an influential philosophical tradition whose practitioners have, from antiquity, claimed it to be the precursor to profound powers. It is recognized as a proto-science that contributed to the development of modern chemistry and medicine. Alchemists developed a structure of basic laboratory techniques, theory, terminology, and experimental methods, some of which are still in use today.
Hmm.
Traditional medicine sometimes involves the transmutation of natural substances using pharmacological or a combination of pharmacological and spiritual techniques.
Wow.
One thing I, in the research, brought and printed here, but a lot of it, too, it goes back to the worshiping of different gods and stuff like that.
Exactly.
They mingled all that stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And it says, now, this term here, spagyric, S-P-A-G-Y-R-I-C, it's that's plant alchemy.
Okay.
So plant alchemy is known as spagyric and is a name given to the production of herbal medicines using alchemical procedures. These procedures involve fermentation, distillation, and the extraction of mineral components from the ash of the plant, just like what you were saying, that synthetic drug thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they quoted this guy here, Paracelsus. stated that the true purpose of alchemy was not for the vulgar purpose of gold making, but rather for the production of medicines. The term spagyria has been used by Paracelsus in his book, deriving from the Greek word spero and agero, the essential meaning of which is to separate and to combine. So what they do was, they separate, when they take the plant or whatever, they separate, take out all the oils and all the essential elements or whatever, and then they put all that stuff, recombine it, and then added their own madness to it.
So basically, you stirring up in a giant cauldron, you stirring up some water, the eye of newt, talon of eagle, scale of lizard, and all this other stuff, and then praying and incantating over it and then trying to make some medicine out of it.
Exactly. Let me just read this last part. It says, he formulated that nature in itself was raw and unfinished, and man had the God-given task to evolve things to a higher level.
Oh, so God, men have the power of God instead of men relying on the power of God as it should be.
That's why I read that scripture first in Proverbs, because that's what it is, and that's what they're going into. And it's not only the drugs. They do that even with other things, like orange juice. That's how they do that. With it. No, it's not pure orange juice that you're drinking most of
the time. The orange we eat is not the pure. It's a hybrid. Yeah. A navel orange is hybridized to not have any seeds in it.
Exactly. So I read that just to say, when you know, when we're doing these things and we're overdosing on it, in a lot of cases we're opening up our minds to these evil demonic spirits
and these philosophies.
Yes. Exactly, yes. And that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go from there to 1 Corinthians 6.
Mm-hmm.
Read verse 12. So
okay.
Let's see what this says.
Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6. Any day now. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient.
Read that again, please.
All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. This is not saying that you don't have to keep the law.
Exactly.
This is saying that we have free will, but some of the things are not profitable. They are vanity.
Exactly. And the point of being, well, actually read the second part. Right.
All things are lawful for me, but I will not be bought under the power of any.
Okay. So the reason why I read this, there is no laws in the Bible that's against taking prescription drugs.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But it might not be profitable for you if you're what? Overdoing it, or if you just keep taking it without
results.
Yeah, exactly, without results.
Mm-hmm.
So all things are lawful unto me, so there's nothing wrong with taking a prescription. There's nothing wrong with that, but it might not be expedient, profitable for you, because we just read that madness, you know, a while ago, and I forgot to tell people the source where I got that. I got that from Wikipedia, and the search term was alchemy, and the other search term was spagyric, S-P-A-G-Y-R-I-C.
Okay.
So that's what we're looking at. So let's go from there. Let's go on the Apocrypha, Ecclesiasticus chapter 38.
Okay.
Okay, and this book here that we're about to read, it was a part, or it is a part of the regular Bible. They just took it out in later years for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So read Ecclesiasticus chapter 38, read 1 and 2.
Honor a physician with the honor due unto him, for the uses which you may have of him, for the Lord hath created him. For of the Most High cometh healing, and he shall receive honor of the king.
So it says, honor a physician with the honor due unto him, right? Mm-hmm. For the uses which he may have created of him.
Mm-hmm.
You said it earlier in the show, it's the Lord that created these doctors.
Yeah, exactly.
And give them the know-how of how to do certain things. It's the Lord that does that.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord hath created him, for it says, for off the Most High cometh healing. It's saying the same thing that it told us in Psalms 103.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is the one that heals us. For off the Most High cometh healing, and he shall receive honor of the king.
Mm-hmm.
So that doctor. Skip down to verse 9.
My son, in thy sickness be not negligent, but pray unto the Lord, and he will make thee whole.
So it says, in thy sickness be not negligent, but pray unto the Lord, and he shall make thee whole. So whatever diseases that we have, that's what we should be doing. pray to the Lord to show us if it's something that we're doing wrong so that we can change, stop from doing it. And we have examples of that amongst us.
Exactly.
So pray to the Lord and he will make thee whole, because it's the Most High God himself, now through Christ, that heals us of these diseases, and he's the one that's going to make us whole. The last scripture, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16.
I got it already. Verse 11?
Actually, start at, read verse 9.
Okay, all right, I thought so. For the eyes of the Lord, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, starting at 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars.
So it says, for the, now this was talking to a king at the time, Asa.
Yep.
And he was being wicked, basically. So it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. The Lord sees everything. The Lord knows everything that we're going through. Any kind of ailments that come upon us, any kind of sickness, the Lord is aware of it. He knows. To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. It's like what you were explaining earlier about having, you know, a child or whatever, and you're not dealing with that discipline, but you just steadily giving them those drugs or whatever, then the Lord's not going to help you. You're going to be subject unto those, you know, foolishness that the child is going to come with.
Exactly.
Because the Lord shows himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. We still have to do the theme that we always bring out on these shows, repent and live a godly life. That's what it is. So now, read down, read, you wanted to start at the...
I can read...
Read 12 through 13.
Okay. 12 and 13. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet, in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians.
And what happened to him because of that?
And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign.
We just read in Ecclesiasticus, honor a physician because the Lord created him. But give praises to the Most High because he's the one that heals us of whatever diseases that we have. Pray to the Lord and ask him to be whole. Asa didn't do that. He got this disease in his feet, and it was exceeding great, great. It got worse and worse, right? Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to who? But to the physicians, to a man. It's, this is the example for us today. These scriptures just wasn't written down for no reason. They were written so that future generations could come and see, okay, this is how we're supposed to live. This is not how we're supposed to live.
Exactly.
This was an example of someone who did not seek to the Lord, did not acknowledge that it's the Lord that heals all of our diseases and not a physician, and what he died.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so that is the point, because like I said, this world that we're living in is just so corrupted and just, it's evil. Basically, they're just pushing all these drugs out there just to get all this money and stuff, and people are just falling hook, line, and sinker for it.
Exactly.
And people are just going berserk and bugged out of their own minds.
You know, so we need to apply the scriptures, and we, after that, may not need as much of a doctor as before we started applying the scriptures.
Exactly.
And that's applying according to as it is written, because just somebody says Christ, or you go to a building where they talk about Christ a little bit in between singing, that does not necessarily mean that it's about the scriptures.
Exactly. And with that, we hope the word was edifying. Any questions, call 877-871-1712. We got to say peace.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, Take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake, on Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.